What I would like to do is I'm going to call out a amount of time in the program. I'd like for you to sit down as I announce. Would everyone with less than a year please sit down? Would everyone with less than 5 years please sit down? In the program. Everyone with less than 5 years in the program, please sit down. Everyone with less than 15 years in the program, please sit down. Everyone with less than 25 years in the program, please sit down. Everyone with less than 37 years in the program, please sit down. Do we have anyone standing with 38 years in the program? Would you come speak to us, please? Could the trustees also please sit down? And I think the sincerest form of flattery is that you don't have to recognize or say anything about anybody. Just let them speak. First of all, can you all hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Good morning, my friends. My name is Roseanne, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Thank you. As you know, I've been in OA 38 years and 5 months. I've been abstaining from compulsive overeating for 11 years and 7 months. My top weight... We can give that one to God. My top weight was around 190 pounds in OA, and I'm maintaining a 55 to 60 pound weight loss. I want to ask, did you enjoy Thursday morning's creative OA mini meeting that we held up here? Did you enjoy that? You'll recall that meeting was set in 1968. The year I Put My Hand in Yours was published. That year we had 100 OA groups. Now I'd like to take you further back in time, to August 1962, when we had 21 groups. On Saturday, August 11th, 36 years ago, 16 delegates met for our first National Business Conference. Sunday afternoon, we held an open session for family and friends where all 16 delegates spoke. And you'll find a description of this in Chapter 8 of Beyond Our Wildest Dreams. At the opening of that session, I made a little speech. The words I spoke to the audience then apply just as much to you and me and to our groups today as they did to our struggling little fellowship that long ago Sunday afternoon. This next portion is from that speech. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm very happy to see all these faces. This is a time of great significance for Overeaters Anonymous as a fellowship and for all the suffering compulsive overeaters everywhere who are alone, afraid, misunderstood, and crying out for help. As many of you know, we have just completed our first national conference, composed of 16 delegates from the 21 OA groups now existing across the country. We hope that OA will progress and grow, that each year there will be this sort of conference. We stand united now under these 12 steps and 12 traditions which you heard read today. These steps and traditions were adapted yesterday as our basic creed. We are now united in a common solution to a problem which threatens to wreck our lives and destroy our thinking, the progressive illness we call compulsive overeating. We are another link in a long chain by which men and women for hundreds of years have tried to bind themselves together to relieve their common problem. Overeaters Anonymous is a remarkable fellowship. It embraces love, acceptance without judgment, and above all, self-sacrifice on the part of the individual and the group. Now, stopping here for a moment, I want to address that last sentence. Do we, in 1998, practice self-sacrifice? Or do some of our members feel that their way of eating is the only way for everybody? Do others believe that the meeting format they like is the only right one for that group? Self-sacrifice is the spiritual essence of anonymity, submergence of the ego for the good of the group. In a righteous quest for power and control, have some of us forgotten how important it is to put aside our own egos for the good of other human beings? Back in 1962, I also said, our recovery is assured only so long as we remember to practice our principles in all our affairs and to carry this magnificent message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. In the future, I'm sure that Overeaters Anonymous will make mistakes. We need not fear these mistakes as long as we remember to confess them, to admit them, and to correct them at once. The words in this last sentence are just as valid and equally as vital to our fellowship in 1998 as they were in 1962. And by the way, feel free to take notes as I speak so you can take some of these ideas home. Does your group hold regular group conscience meetings? If not, why not? Is your intergroup holding scheduled delegates meetings? If so, within these groups and intergroups, do we recognize our mistakes? As members working together, do we admit these mistakes? Are we entirely ready to correct our wrongs at once? Or do we sit in meetings, especially business meetings, arguing and nitpicking at one another until the very soul of the gathering is lost? At the start of OA, when Joe and I began talking to one another, we had one goal and one goal only, weight loss. We were both fat. We wanted to stop overeating, lose weight, and become slender. We were not concerned with specific diets, with our inner child, with fancy psychoanalytic theories. Although I had rewritten some of the steps, Joe and I used those steps to discuss why we were eating so much, where we could eat less, and equally important, how we could change our eating behaviors. By the time Barbara S. and I were interviewed by Paul Coates on television, OA was 10 months old. I was 33 years old and weighed 110 pounds. I had lost 51 pounds and Barbara had lost even more. Physically, we were both programs of attraction. That was not only important, it was the reason for OA's immediate and dramatic success. Two fat women would never even have been interviewed. As members poured in, we had the usual growing pains of every young organization, but we knew exactly who we were and why we had been established. We were certain the 12 steps would work for compulsive overeaters just as they had for alcoholics and gamblers. Many of us at that time went to open AA meetings regularly. And for 10 years, the Los Angeles area AA members came to our meetings to teach us about the 12 steps. Some even led 12-step study groups for us. Have you tried this? Have you tried this in your area where the meetings may be new or faltering, particularly in regions 9 and 10, but in all other regions as well? Go to open AA meetings. Ask your local AAs for help. They have been very generous with their strength and encouragement. In the early days, we were all so enthusiastic and determined. We knew that abstinence from overeating included weight loss, along with spiritual and emotional progress. It was unacceptable, even dishonest, to take an abstinence birthday candle while remaining overweight year after year after year. What are you abstaining from, we would ask the member. Even during the gold, pink, green, and gray sheet conflicts, we all knew how important it was to have a healthy eating plan. We encouraged immediate sponsorship and calling our sponsors every day, and there were always members willing to be sponsors. We insisted that members read AA's big book in 12 and 12. Each of us reached out to newcomers. We called them. We held 12-step study groups. After the OA Lifeline began publication, the majority of members began to subscribe to it. And we urged members to work all 12 steps beginning right away. The two-hour meetings always had a coffee break with fellowship after the first hour. And the shorter meetings encouraged fellowship time after the meeting so we could talk to newcomers and to each other. Does your meeting do that today? Or do you just go home? Try it. It's important. Unlike the laziness of today, there was always someone eager to be secretary, treasurer, literature person, newcomer contact. We understood that service was vital to the success of the group and the fellowship. But I've seen meetings recently where the outgoing secretary had to beg for service replacements. And yet people get up and brag about how grateful they are to OA. Gratitude begins at home with your group. When volunteers are needed to help clean up after the meeting, raise your hand. I always do. Why should I say, let someone else do it? Service is my responsibility. My thank you to God for all that has been given to me. And when the basket is being passed, put in at least a couple of dollars at every meeting you attend. Movies cost more than ever, yet we stand in long lines to go in. We think nothing of stopping off at the local expensive coffee house. Why do we skimp on the fellowship that we claim has saved our lives? Financial support is part of our responsibility, yours and mine. I am concerned and saddened to see the condition of Overeaters Anonymous today. We are losing groups by the hundreds. Lifeline subscriptions are down from 25,000 in 1990 to 10,144 today. That's a 59% drop. Why? Are you subscribing? Do you encourage your sponsees to subscribe? Does your meeting have a Lifeline representative to give a regular pitch for the meeting? I've been a Lifeline rep. Why can't you? I carry Lifeline in my purse to read in long lines at the bank, doctor's waiting rooms, and other places. I give copies to prospective members. We can all do the same thing. Lifeline is our meeting between meetings. If we don't subscribe and support it, there won't be any OA magazine. Other commercial magazines have gone bankrupt. Why couldn't it happen to Lifeline? And while I'm on the subject, how many of you have written letters and items and articles for our magazine? You don't have to be a professional writer. Our editors are great. They'll fix it for you. Just share your heart with your fellow members. You'll see, you will be the one to reap the benefit. Now, returning to the problems of our fellowship. What will happen to you and me if OA disappears? Where will we go for recovery? And don't think it couldn't happen, because it already has. In the mid-1860s, there was an organization called the Washingtonian Society. Established for alcoholics, it had at its peak 100,000 members. Yet within 6 years, it had disappeared completely. Ask yourself, what happened to all those alcoholics? Did they all go back to drinking? We must not let the same thing happen to Overeaters Anonymous. We must raise ourselves from the laziness and the lethargy into which we have sunk today. We must take action, each one of us. What are some of the things we could do? Again, these are more ideas to write down and discuss with your group and your intergroups. For starters, let's take a look at some of the structure included in the How and Gray Sheet meetings. Now, I am not talking about the eating plan. But what about making 3 outreach calls a day? Why not include an intense focus on the 12 steps, a regimen of personal discipline, and reliance on abstinence as defined in a specific, written, personal plan of eating? What about using questions relating to the steps while working with a sponsor? OA has a workbook for this purpose, or your group could choose its own list. What about these ideas? Consider them, discuss them. And before you overreact to any of these suggestions, please understand I am not offering any or all of these options as solutions. I'm bringing them up as topics for discussions within your groups. Perhaps you might want to incorporate them into a new group meeting format. Maybe you could use them as springboards for discussions on how to retain your present members and bring in new overeaters. It is up to us to reinvigorate, to bring back to life Overeaters Anonymous. Wringing our hands won't help at all. Binging because you're afraid OA might disappear doesn't solve anything. Fighting only aggravates the situation. Now is the time for each of us to reach inside our hearts and souls, to stop and ask God for guidance. Give up trying to control everything and everyone. Compromise. Submerge your ego for the good of the group. We have very serious problems. Let's find new and creative solutions. You can do it. We can do it. The words I said after our first conference in August 1962 were never more prophetic than they are at this very moment in 1998. We have a long way to go in OA. We have many wonderful precepts of other fellowships to look back on, to help us, and to guide us. If we, as groups and individuals, keep in mind that always there are hundreds of thousands of people around us who are drowning in a well of despair and fright and who don't know where to turn, if we can reach out our hands to these people to help them, if we can share what we have learned, if we can apply it to all areas of our lives, we will indeed have performed the task for which we have been placed on this earth. There are others waiting to hear the answer. There are many of us here who have applied this program, each in his or her own individual way, many interpretations, but one common solution for us and for all those who are still suffering. May God help us and them as we try to help ourselves together. Thank you.